Good morning. Good to see everyone this morning. Nice to be out. The last couple of weeks, we've been focused on some first things. You might remember that Jesus was in the house of Martha and Mary, and Jesus was teaching, and Martha was busy with the duties of a host, and felt a little overwhelmed and asked that Jesus tell Mary to help her. And he said, "Martha, you're troubled about many things, but one thing matters. And Mary has chosen that good part that will not be taken from her." So that lesson, we focused upon the fact that one thing matters, and the one thing that matters is that good part. God has revealed that good part to us in His Word, the Bible. Last week we focused upon keeping first things first and dedicating the very best of our lives to serving God and, again, appealing to His Word to teach us how to do that. This morning I want to focus upon some things that as the last 2 weeks, we perhaps have focused upon ourselves and reminding ourselves that one thing matters. If you like illusionists or magicians, I guess you might say, magicians and politicians are good at misdirecting you. Don't look over there. Look over here. Satan does the same thing. Don't look on one thing matters. Look over here at all these other matters. Don't look upon the first thing. Look upon all these other things. Don't seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Don't set your affection on things above. Set your affection on things down here. It's easy to get distracted. It's easy for us to forget what really matters. We, especially in these days and times, there's many things that we're concerned about. And if you're watching the news, I feel sorry for you because you're probably distressed about a lot of things. But I try not to watch it any more than I have to anymore. But this morning I want us to focus upon the fact that as we focus on what matters and as we keep first things first, remember it's not about you. It's about glorifying God, bringing honor and glory to Him and His name by the life that you live, by keeping His commandments. Another way of thinking about this, and it's a point that we made in the lesson a couple of weeks ago, but Proverbs chapter 11 and verses 30 through 31 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner?" Many things we could say about the thoughts that are presented to us here in this divine verse, but I want to focus especially on this statement, "He who wins souls is wise." And work off of that by reminding us that every soul matters. Every soul that you come in contact with in your life matters. Your soul matters. The soul of your spouse matters. The soul of your children matters. The soul of the people you work with matters. The soul of the people you share the roads with out here matters. The soul of the people that you stand in line with at McDonald's or whatever fast food place you like to go to, or Walmart or whatever grocery you go to, their soul matters. the soul of those that don't share the same political views as you matters. The soul that doesn't share the same understanding of the scriptures that you do, that soul matters. And we need to realize that all of these things matter and should matter to us. We need to understand the value of the soul. Matthew 16 and verse 26, Jesus reasoned with us, "What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" What if Satan is successful in keeping your focus off the one thing that matters and focus on all of the carnal things of the world? And then he says, "What will a man give in exchange for his soul?" I've said before, and I'll say again today, and probably will say again some other time, we don't have a whole lot of problem with trying to gain the whole world. I don't know anybody who's out to gain the whole world. But we do have a problem. Each and every one of us have a problem with wanting to do something that is a transgression of the will of God, focusing upon something that isn't first, and thereby losing our soul. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? What temptation, what sin is it that you're not willing to let go of? That's what's going to cost you your soul. Is it really worth it? Jesus stated the importance of every soul when he said in John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When he knew that the majority of mankind would reject his Son, would reject the Word, would reject the truth, would reject the way of salvation, but he gave it so that all might be saved. Would you do that? Would you give one of your children to save those that are lost? To save those who aren't even interested in God and would probably never believe? Would you give one of your children? God did. Because every soul matters. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Why are we still here? The Lord said he was coming back. He hasn't come back. That's what they were talking about in the context here. That's what Peter is answering here. And the answer was, the Lord hasn't forgotten that he promised that he was coming back. The Lord hasn't reneged on his promise. He's coming back. Why hasn't he come back? Because he's long-suffering to us. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God only knows the heart, the thoughts, and the intentions of every soul who is alive right now. God is the only one who knows if a soul will hear and turn and obey the gospel of Christ and live to the glory of God. There will not be one soul who will stand before God on the day of judgment and said, "If I would have only lived 1 hour longer, I would have obeyed the gospel." No, because God knows your heart. God knows where it is and what it's going to do. Why hasn't he come? Because somebody, somewhere, is going to obey the gospel and live to the glory of God. And I would hope that one of those people might be here today and give their life to the Lord and live for Him. Pursue the one thing that matters and keep first things first in your life. Understand the plight of the sinner. Sin separates us from God. This is illustrated for us, stated by God in Isaiah 59, in the first two verses. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. Israel, the nation of Israel, was in dire straits. They were praying to God, save our nation. And they weren't seeing an answer. They weren't seeing the answer that they wanted to see. And God here explains to them, my hand is not shortened that I cannot save, nor is my ear heavy that I cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Israel thought that they could worship Jehovah God and worship the idols of the nations round about them at the same time. God said, this has gone on too long and happened too many times. It's time for correction. It's time for disciplinary action. It's time to weed out true men and women of faith from the pretenders. Iniquities separate us from God. God hates sin. And he will not participate in those with those who love it. Sin brings spiritual death. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 says, the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. The soul who sins shall die. I'm not responsible for my parents' sins. They're not responsible for my sins. I'm responsible for my sins. And if I continue in my sin, I will die. And you're not talking about physical death. Everybody dies physically. I'm talking about spiritual death. Your sins have separated you from God. Death is a separation. Physical death is when our soul, our spirit is separated from God. Physical death is when our soul is separated from our body. Spiritual death is when our soul is separated from God because of our sin. That's what he's saying. You'll be separated from God. Why does he use the term die? Have you ever thought about that? Why is being in the presence of God for eternity talked about as life? Well, think about it. Don't you like life? Don't you love life? Don't you love the weather and everything that there is about all the good things about life? Why is it that people don't want to die? Even if you have a valid hope of eternal life in the presence of God, why is it that you don't want to die? Well, there's things that you enjoy about life here. Why is it we don't want to be separated from that? We don't want to be separated from our loved ones. We don't want to be separated from wholesome activities that we enjoy. So God used that dread of being separated from those things that are good in that term of death. We're separated. Separated from God. Separated from he who gives every good and perfect gift. The soul who sins shall die. Romans 6 and verse 23 says it this way, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. The price for sin is death. And God so loved us that He was willing to pay the price of death with His Son's death. If we'll but turn to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and live for Him. The plight of the sinner is eternal separation from God in hell. Revelation 20 and verses 11 through 12 through 15, the Apostle John said, I saw a great white throne and Him that sat on it, from whose face earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. The books that were opened are these books that you probably carried in here with you today. The 66 books of the Bible. The law of God, that if we transgress against it, we will be counted as transgressors and sinners and separated from Him. The books will be open, and another book will be open, the book of life. The Bible reveals to us that the book of life contains the names of those who turned from their sin and were brought into fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. They applied His death to their sin. And they lived in fellowship with Him in doing His will. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things that were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Has your name been written in the Lamb's book of life? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Have you turned from your sins to follow Him? To live as He teaches us from His Word? Have you confessed Him as the Son of God and the Savior of mankind? Do you continue to profess Him throughout your life? Have you obeyed Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins? The Bible tells us that when we do that, our names are written into the book of life. Our sins are blotted out and our names are written in to the book of life. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. No coming back from that. At the scene of judgment, we see that death and Hades delivered up the dead from them. They came back for a period of time, a period of judgment. But then it's all going to be cast into the lake of fire, never to return. No hope. No comfort. No peace. No light. Has your name been written into the book of life? Understand the power of the gospel. Romans 1 and verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation unto everyone who believes. Every soul matters. And if you will trust and obey Christ, your sins will be forgiven. And you can live the balance of your days in fellowship with God and a valid hope of everlasting life. And in eternity, you'll be in the presence of God and the heavenly host. Second Timothy 2 and verse 15. Timothy was told, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every one of us needs to take heed to that admonition. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Where do you stand today in the eyes of God? Approved or disapproved? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the word of truth. Understand it. Properly apply it to your life and live by it. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 tells us to sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your hearts. Keep first things first. One thing matters. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that that is in you with meekness and fear. We have a reason to rejoice. We have a reason to believe that we're going to be saved and in the presence of Almighty God. That reason are the words in this book. That reason is this revelation from God, His promise, His nature. And when He makes a promise, He keeps it. When He tells us something, it's truth. When we live by it, we're in fellowship with Him. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. But don't just keep Him in your heart. Tell others. Tell others. Be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you. This is the reason. Christ is the reason. His word is the reason. Be ready to share it with others. Understand the responsibility of the believer. If you're here this morning and you're a believer, you've obeyed the gospel, you live with this valid hope of eternal life, you're putting first things first in your life, you realize one thing matters, and you're pursuing it, you're not being distracted, you have a responsibility. And I think it's illustrated for us in Ezekiel chapter 33 in the first 9 verses, where it says, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring the sword upon the land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but did not take the warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes the warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes away that person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. Brethren, we're the watchmen. We're the saved ones. We've been called out of the world and into fellowship with Christ to to stand on the walls and to proclaim the warning. Don't be distracted. Realize what matters. Realize the value of your soul. Realize your spiritual condition if you're not in Christ. Realize you're separated from God. Sound the warning that you're going to be separated from God eternally in a place of outer darkness, a place farthest removed from He who is light and all that is good. If you're listening to me today and you're hearing this warning, but you're not taking it, your blood will be upon your own head. But if I don't sound the warning, your blood's on my head. And so that is true of every child of God, that we are to share this blessed good news of salvation that's in Christ with all, everywhere. He goes on in verse 7, he says, "So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth." We hear it from the book we call the Bible, given by the inspiration of God. "And you will warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, 'O wicked man, you shall surely die,' and you do not speak and warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity. But you have delivered your soul." We have a responsibility. There was a gospel preacher by the name of Bill Cruz who had a statement that he often said, and it was repeated and quoted very often by another gospel preacher that some of you here know, Bobby Holmes. But this is the quote: "If you are my friend, if you're concerned about my soul, give me the truth. Do not flatter me. Do not praise my virtues while remaining silent about my vices. Do not be afraid that the truth will offend me. Do not treasure our friendship above my salvation. Do not think that by ignoring my sins you can help me. Do not think that being blind to my sins will make you charitable. However, I may react to it. Whatever may be my attitude toward you after you have done it, give me the truth. For the truth, and only the truth, can make me free from my sin, strengthen me in the pathway of righteousness, and lead me to the joys of heaven. If I am wavering, weak, lukewarm, indifferent, neglectful, if I've been overtaken in a trespass, if I've been drawn into the pleasures of the world, if I have left my first love, if I've been led astray by error, or if I have done none of these things but simply need to grow in knowledge and then be edified, give me the truth. I would rather that thousands say to me on the day of judgment, 'We heard you preach, and you hurt our feelings,' then have one lost soul say, 'I heard you preach, but you did not tell me the whole truth.'" How many people are we withholding the truth from because we're afraid we're going to hurt their feelings? We're afraid it might injure our friendship or our relationship. Or we're afraid we might lose our job. Every soul matters. Every soul needs to hear the truth. And those who are of the truth will come to the truth. Be sure that you always hear what people need and provide it to them. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and verse 16, it says, "If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is to me if I preach not the gospel." Woe to each one of us if we don't teach the gospel of Christ, if we hold back the truth. Let the truth be heard. Let the light be seen. Every soul matters. We need to see Matthew chapter 9 and verses 36 through 38. It says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them. Every soul matters. I can't tell you how many times I've been in a mall or some other busy place, maybe a theme park or something like that, and everybody's running around and doing things and enjoying things and taking care of responsibilities maybe. I just go to Walmart and sit down on one of the benches up there in front. Not just old people do that. You can do that. Observe the people walking in and out the door. Let the thought cross your mind. Every one of these souls matters to God. Doesn't matter what their economic situation is. Doesn't matter how attractive they might be or unattractive they might be. Doesn't matter. Every soul matters. John 4 and verse 35, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Oh, we got time. We've got time. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look. The fields are already white for harvest. Every one of these souls matters. It's time to preach the gospel now. They need to hear the truth. We need to keep our ears alert. In Acts chapter 8 and verses 29 and 30, the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." And so Philip ran to him as the Ethiopian treasurer. And he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the treasurer was humble enough to say, "No, I need somebody to help me." He'd been to Jerusalem and he'd heard all of the different explanations of the passage that he was reading from. And he was confused. And Philip just plainly taught to him Jesus from that passage. Listen to what people are saying. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." This is the chapter we're studying from in our adult Bible study on Wednesday night now. They were quick to respond to this divine message of God. Coming to the city of Philippi, we find that Lydia and her household obeys the gospel. We find the Philippian jailer and his household obey the gospel. Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 says that he, the jailer, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Well, they heard that question, and they answered that question. And the jailer and his household were baptized that very evening and were recognized as believers from that time on. Listen to what people are saying. Listen to their questions. Listen to their concerns. God has an answer. Be sure to give it. Speak the truth. In love and concern, speak God's word to them. Every soul matters, so we need to go find them. We need to find the honest and good heart. We need to find those who will hear the truth and believe it. Romans 10 and verse 15. How shall they preach unless they be sent? How shall they preach unless they're authorized to preach? What are we authorized to preach? The truth of God's word. We're not authorized to stand up here and tell stories and entertain people with jokes and all kinds of things. We're here to teach the word of God. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. It's written in Isaiah 52 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 through 20. The gospel of Matthew closes with these words. The words of Jesus. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are to go. Having received His word, we're not to keep it in. We are to go and to share it with others. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. He came to seek out the lost because every soul matters. He came to save every soul that will believe. Ephesians 5 and verses 15 through 16, we are told to walk circumspectly, accurately, considerably, not as fools, but as wise. Knowing the truth, practice the truth. Knowing what's expected of you, do what's expected of you. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. One thing matters. Don't get distracted. Redeem the time. The days are evil. You can get distracted, and people around you are distracted, and you need to help them get focused on the one thing that matters. We do that by caring. It's an interesting record for us in 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 through 9. Of some lepers. They were in a bad situation. Number one, because of their health, and number two, because of the political situation. Enemy was in front of them. The only people around them were the enemy. They were lepers. They were outcasts of society because they were leprous. Everybody was afraid of them. They didn't want to give it to anybody. You know, it's kind of like everybody running around with a mask on. I don't want to give you the COVID. I don't have the COVID, but I don't want to give you the COVID. They were considerate of others. But they were starving. And the enemy of Israel was right in front of them. They're surrounded by them. So read this with me. There were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate of the camp. And they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. You know, the city had been cut off by the enemy. They were starving the people out. They said, well, if we sit here, we're going to starve to death. If we go into the city, we'll starve to death. Now, therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we'll only die, and we're going to die anyway. I don't know what's going to happen, but there's one way to find out, basically what they're saying. And so they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians, and when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. There weren't chariots, there weren't horses, there wasn't a great army, but he had caused them to hear the noise of such. So they said to one another, the Syrians said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact with their tents, their horses, their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came into the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold, clothing, and they went and hid them. And they came back and entered another tent and carried some of theirs away and went and hid it also. And then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment is going to come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. Have you obeyed the gospel and you enjoy the blessings of salvation? You enjoy every spiritual gift that is in Christ Jesus? You enjoy a valid hope of everlasting life? You enjoy being in fellowship with God? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you is His promise. And you're keeping all of that to yourself? We're not doing right. This is a day of good news. This is not a day to remain silent. This is a day to let the truth be heard. This is a day to hear the truth, trust it, and obey it. Let us go and tell. Let us go and tell every soul, because every soul matters. You remember Romans 6 and verse 23? The wages of sin, the price for sin, is separation from God. But the gift of God, by His grace, He has provided salvation to us. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you accepted this gift? Are you in Christ Jesus? Galatians 3 and verse 27 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Have you been baptized into Christ? Have you trusted Him and obeyed Him? As He said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Are you obeying all things commanded? Are you abiding in the Word of God? A true disciple, knowing the truth. And in so doing, being set free from your sin. You can do that today. If you trust Him, obey Him. We're ready. all things are ready here. And if you're ready, we're ready to assist you in embracing this fellowship with God. Your soul matters. It matters to God. It matters to Jesus. He gave his life so that you might live. I pray that your soul matters to you, that you'll turn from your sin that separates you from him to be united with him. If you're here today and you're a child of God, you know that you're out of favor with him. James tells us to confess our faults to one another, pray for one another. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation today in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?
Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throng. Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now? Why not? Why not? Why not come to him now? What do you hope, dear brother, to gain by a further delay?